sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Sarah, who's lurking nearby.
Hello, everyone.
We are happy to have you with us, and we've got a pretty neat show today. We've talked before about this effort that's going on. It started out here in Texas, which I think most things worthwhile start out in Texas, right?
Yeah, we're revolutionary.
I think we would all go along with that.
It's our no-nonsense attitude.
Right. Anyway, you're having what are called sanctuary cities.
For the unborn. We should clarify for the unborn.
Sanctuary for the unborn, right. Where they're passing local ordinances and laws to prevent abortions in their community. And the guy who started this idea, who's kind of ramrodding the whole thing, is a guy named Mark Lee Dixon. And we've been friends for a while. As a matter of fact, you and I and Sheila went out. And
down to Lubbock.
Spoke at one of those. And Lubbock is the largest city in the country now that has done this. And Mark Lee Dixon is the one who ramrods this deal. And he's joining us by phone from San Angelo. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Well, we're just trying to keep the wolf away from the door. I'm sure you know how that works.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. Tell us a little bit, Mark, about how you started this idea, how you came up with this idea.
Well, the Lord really just put it on my heart. I was on the sidewalk at an abortion facility, and there was a woman there that was undecided on if she was getting an abortion or not. And she talked about how that abortion facility was talking about possibly closing down. And so in my mind, I was reminded of the early 90s where the director at that time in that abortion facility said if abortion were ever shut down in Louisiana, it makes sense across the border to Wascom, Texas. And so Wascom was on my heart, realized that there were some, looked like there were some tentacles that had already been stretched out. So I reached out to the mayor of Wascom, and he asked what he could do, and it just kind of rolled off my lips to pass an ordinance outlawing abortion within the city limits. And so that happened, and then now we're at a total of 29 cities that have outlawed abortion in the United States. 26 of those are in Texas, 2 of those are in Nebraska, and 1 is in Ohio.
And that's the most recent one.
That's the most recent is the one in Ohio.
Correct. Lebanon, Ohio.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, most of them have been very small cities that didn't have a freestanding abortion clinic in them anyway.
Yet.
But that's not the point.
Never discount some of those small cities. The abortion industry wants clinics there too. They want to be as far and wide as they possibly can. And the quicker that they can get themselves ingrained into a community without people thinking that they can turn them away, you know, the better for them. So,
but there's other issues here too. And you say, well, what good does it do to outlaw abortion in Wascom, Texas? How many people live in Wascom? Do you know, Mark?
2,189.
All right. Somebody might say there's no abortion clinic and there's not an abortion clinic nearby. What difference does it make? Well, it makes a lot of difference. First off, there's the philosophical argument that the unborn in every city should be protected. But also what we need to understand is that in today's political culture, America is not governed by statesmen, unfortunately. At one time, that might have been the case. It's certainly not today. What we're governed by is finger-to-the-wind politicians. And that means that one of the things we have to do, if we want a politician in Austin, Texas, or a politician in Washington, D.C., to support pro-life legislation, he's got to believe, or she's got to believe, that it's safe to support pro-life legislation back in his district where he or she's going to have to run for re-election. So these kind of things like Mark is doing send that message. And the more we do this, and I have said this for years, we focus our attention on Austin, Texas, Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court, Congress, Senate, and all this. Until we run abortion on the local level, we're wasting our time.
Well, there's a practical issue to this as well. And that says, as more states implement restrictions on abortion or try to outlaw abortion in their state,
right,
you're going to see clinics from those areas start trying to refer people to just over the border or establish clinics just over the border to escape those laws. And so what may be, seem like a little small out of the way town that is not going to have any connection to abortion could very soon be an ideal location for the abortion industry to open up a place.
Well, let's get Mark to bring us up to date on what's going on in Lubbock, because that is, to this date, the largest city that has outlawed abortion. And you had an issue there when you first went there, Mark, in that the city council voted you down.
Yes.
But you guys got enough signatures on a petition to get it put in front of the public and let the citizens of Lubbock vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that passed overwhelmingly. It wasn't even close.
62% for the ban, 38 against. That's a landslide right there.
Right. Tell us what's going on in Lubbock right now, because there is a Planned Parenthood facility in Lubbock.
Which just opened.
Right, just opened up.
Well, today is June 1st, and according to the city of Lubbock, today is when the ordinance would go in effect. And of course, the ordinance did go in effect. And I was ready to sue Planned Parenthood for performing abortions, but they decided not to do abortions. And so they are complying with the law, and
so
abortions
far.
Are not correct. And abortions are not taking place within the city limits of Lubbock, Texas. Now, Planned Parenthood has released a statement, and they are saying very clearly that they are intending to obey the law at this time. And so that's a good thing.
Has anyone tested it, like called and tried to make an appointment?
There is a video on my Facebook. It's on the Right to Life of East Texas Facebook page. It's on Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn Facebook page. And so all across the board, anyone can go look at that and they can see we called them and they're referring people to out of state. They're referring people to Dallas, Fort Worth, but Lubbock, Texas, it ain't happening.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We've got that phone call here. If you want to play
ahead.
It.
Let's go ahead and let's listen to that call.
Okay.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood. This is Cindy. How may I help you?
Hi, Cindy. I need to schedule an abortion, please.
Okay, we're currently not offering that service, ma'am, due to the ordinance that went into effect today. Until further notice.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
What should
I do? Where can I go?
Well, two options. There's one, I know that they're going to be out of state. Colorado would be one, Colorado Springs, or in New Mexico. There's clinics in Albuquerque and Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Okay.
What I can also, I mean, Fort Worth can be an option as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
So
there you have it.
You'd say right now, Mark, that they are complying with the ordinance and not scheduling abortions.
Correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And like I said before, this is where the each community passing their own laws is important, because like they just stated, they're referring people to New Mexico and other states to deflect from this law. So, you know, it's not like they're just going to throw up their hands and give up. If there was a clinic right over the border, you can be assured that they would be referring them there instead.
Right. Right.
You know, it's a good thing that they're not doing abortions.
Mm-hmm.
But another good thing is we have this court case. The judge has not ruled on it yet. But before the hearing on Friday, the judge had invited the Office of the Attorney General to weigh in on this issue, on the arguments that Planned Parenthood was making. And yesterday, we got a 7-page letter from the Office of the Attorney General of Texas. And this is coming from Judd Stone, the Solicitor General of Texas. And I just want to read a few parts of the 7-page letter. He says, "Thank you for the invitation to express the Office of the Attorney General's views on the questions of Texas law presented by Planned Parenthood's second and third claims in this case. In our view, Planned Parenthood has not shown that Lubbock's ordinance is inconsistent with state law."
Wow.
So that is huge.
That's pretty blunt right there.
So massive statement. And then I'm going to read a few more parts from this. As an initial matter, the Texas legislature has clarified that state law does not prevent cities like Lubbock from imposing regulations like those that Planned Parenthood challenges. And it says recently enacted Senate Bill 8 provides a statute may not be construed to restrict a political subdivision from regulating or prohibiting abortion in a manner that is at least as stringent as the laws of the state, unless the statute explicitly states that political subdivisions are prohibited from regulating or prohibiting abortion in the manner described by the statute.
Wow.
And it says the thrust of Planned Parenthood's allegations is that Lubbock's ordinance is preempted because it is more stringent than state law. And the response there is, consequently, Senate Bill 8 will control Planned Parenthood's claims following its effective date of September 1st. Planned Parenthood has not identified a statute that explicitly states that political subdivisions are prohibited from regulating or prohibiting abortion, let alone one that prohibits the type of regulations at issue here. And then he said Senate Bill 8 is relevant even before its effective date. Under Texas law, when a later enacted statute clarifies the meaning of earlier statutes, it is highly persuasive, even if it does not technically control. So, you know, ever since June 11th of 2019, we've heard from city attorneys and groups, law firms like Olson & Olson, that these ordinances are inconsistent with state law, that we're going against the state in every angle.
Mm-hmm.
This pretty much is the stake driven through the heart of that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very clear that there's no, I'm looking here in bold text, there's no inconsistency between state and local abortion laws.
Yeah.
So what this means too, is you got to understand, had they come out and said that this was inconsistent or that there was a conflict, a tension between what Lubbock did and what the state of Texas does, that would have required the state of Texas, I think, to join a lawsuit prohibiting the enforcement of this ordinance. They would have had to join Planned Parenthood in that lawsuit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the tenor in the state legislature right now is to do something like that. I don't see the Texas legislature, certainly not the attorney general's office or the governor's office, saying, oh, we're going to hook up with Planned Parenthood to do away with this. There's two things I want to bring up about this that's important. And I understand you've been contacted by several other municipalities that are interested in doing this same thing. But one of the things that's interesting about this is it's tempting for people to say, well, I don't imagine Planned Parenthood or the National Abortion Federation or NARAL or whoever it might be is losing a lot of sleep over these little ordinances prohibiting abortions in little Texas cities.
You'd be wrong.
That'd be wrong. There was an analysis done of the money that was raised when you guys had this in front of the citizens of Lubbock. The money that was raised in support of that and the money that was raised in opposition to it. And the interesting thing to me was that 92 or 93% of every dollar that was raised to support this legislation in Lubbock was raised inside Lubbock. It was citizens of Lubbock that were donating the money to pass this legislation or pass this ordinance. On the other side of the aisle, less than, I think it was 3%, if I'm not mistaken, less than 3% of the money that was coming in, and it was almost the same amount of money. One side had raised $120,000 at that time, and one side had raised $121,000. So basically the same amount of money. The mm-hmm. difference was 92% on the pro side came from Lubbock. Only 2 or 3% on the negative side came from Lubbock. The rest of it came from large cities in Texas and then a lot of large cities outside of Texas. $50,000 was given by Planned Parenthood in New York City into Lubbock, Texas to oppose this bill. Now, don't tell me that Planned Parenthood in New York City would have spent $50,000 on something that they took as a joke or some kind of Don Quixote thing.
And you know, as they were sitting there writing that check, it must have just grated them that they had to spend $50,000 on some city in Texas.
That they probably never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, and that's causing this grief. So I found that to be very interesting that they saw it as threatening enough in New York City to pour $50,000 into Lubbock. There was basically, from what I can tell, Mark, you tell me if I'm wrong, from the way the money was flowing, there was no opposition to this in Lubbock.
Yeah, I mean, of course there was opposition in Lubbock, but it was very small. Yeah, I mean, it was minuscule.
Compared to the support.
And some, exactly.
And it seems to me that some of the opposition was not necessarily just outright opposition. It was worried about lawsuits and what Planned Parenthood would do. Am I right?
Well, I mean, the mayor and council was against this. And so there was that, which wasn't going for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Lubbock spent a lot of money on that Olson legal opinion, mm-hmm. which since this 7-page letter from the Solicitor General of Texas came out, it's pretty much dung right now because completely invalidates all of that.
It shot it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The state of Texas shot down their argument.
Yep.
Have any of the cities, because I consistently heard this and we heard it out there in Lubbock and we were out there with you. These cities were saying, well, look, this is clearly unconstitutional and it violates state law and it's this, that, and the other. And the city is going to spend millions and trillions of dollars to defend something that we know up front is not going to win in court. And this was kind of the way they intimidated or tried to intimidate some of these city councils and some of these people from saying, don't support this. All you're doing is wasting a bunch of the taxpayers' money. Have any of the cities that have passed this so far, you said there are 29 so far.
Correct.
Have any of them been sued?
There were 7 cities sued in East Texas, and that lawsuit was filed in February of 2020, and it was withdrawn 3 months later in May of 2020. And Jonathan F. Mitchell represented those cities at no cost to cities and taxpayers, and abortion remains banned in all of those cities. And so it didn't cost those cities 1 cent. And the ACLU backed down because you know what? The ACLU, they're bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And when those 7 cities in East Texas were sued, there was 12 cities that passed the ordinance at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go after the biggest city, which was Big Spring, which was about 30,000 people. They picked on 7 cities in East Texas that had a Obama appointee judge in Marshall, Texas.
Mm.
And so we think that they were court shopping.
Yeah.
They did send a letter, though, to the mayor of Big Spring. And that letter said, hey, we sued these 7 cities in East Texas. And it encouraged the city of Big Spring to repeal their ordinance. And the mayor of Big Spring was like, well, y'all haven't sued us yet.
You're lots of talking and no suing.
Yeah. And so what the mayor of Big Spring wanted to do is he wanted to take some fracking sand. And he wanted to take a hammer and send a little note with it that said, pound sand. And he wanted to send that to the ACLU. But guys, what I've learned is that city attorneys usually don't want people to have fun.
Yeah.
And the city attorney of Big Spring advised against that. So shame on him. But, right. But you know, looking back, I mean, it's very clear that the ACLU are bullies.
Yeah.
And they want to use their scare tactics. And I think every city needs to stand up to the ACLU and stand up to the radical abortion industry that's trying to shove things down our throats and say, heck no, we don't want abortion here. And we're not going to be bullied into repealing these ordinances that protect innocent children in the city limits of our cities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, they also know if they can intimidate you, then that means maybe they can solve this thing at next to nothing cost and have all their problems go away overnight.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure they sit around in a room and think, oh, we'll fire off these letters on this fancy letterhead of a New York or Washington, D.C. law firm, and it'll have ACLU across the top of it and all these fancy names of these tasseled loafered lawyers that work for the ACLU, and we'll fire that off to these little hick towns, and they'll crumble. Well, that's not the way these hick towns in Texas work.
No. Welcome to Texas.
That's not the way things happen here. Especially, I wouldn't say that if you went around Texas that the ACLU is that highly thought of or that much feared. They're just not that feared in Texas as they are maybe in some other places.
Yeah, here in Texas, we love our babies and we love our chicken fried steak. If we try to take either one of them, then that's going to be a problem.
They're going to have an
issue.
Or
our big gulps. We're not going to pass one of those New York City deals banning the big gulps.
Well, I thought the most idiotic statement I've heard in many, many years in politics, and is Beto O'Rourke saying,
yeah,
hell yes, we're coming after your AR-15. We're going to come knocking on your door and take your AR-15.
And then he wonders why his campaign in Texas didn't take off so well.
after there was like $80 million put mm-hmm. into his campaign from yeah. outside the state of Texas mm-hmm. to get him elected, and he loses. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of off the subject, but where were you going to find all sheriff's deputies in the state of Texas to go up and knock on people's doors and say, I'm here to pick up your guns?
Yeah. Well, you got to admire his optimism because, you know, when he has a failed run within the state of Texas, he thinks, you know what? I'm going to go for presidency. That'll work out.
Right. That's going to work. Especially
well, he thought he could campaign on skateboarding and Whataburger as what would win people over. And having his logo mm-hmm. look like the Whataburger spicy ketchup, that yeah. was brilliant. But it didn't work out.
Yeah. And for people who may not know, Beto O'Rourke, because he's not going to go away. He's going to float to the top again.
Like a fish turd.
Yeah. He's not Hispanic.
No.
He stole the name Beto. That's short for Roberto. Mm-hmm. But his name is Robert Fances. He's Irish.
Irish. He's Irish. He's Irish like me.
Right. He's not Mexican. But he thought he could co-opt a Mexican nickname. Mm-hmm. And drag in all the Hispanic vote. Apparently it didn't work too well. But anyway, this is a really neat strategy, Mark, and I want to congratulate you on it. It, you know, on the surface, I'm sure you caught some grief over this, and maybe you still do. It sounds like you're Don Quixote, you know, and this is not going to fly. But the fact is, we need to come at the abortion industry 24/7 from a million different directions, and this mm-hmm. just needs to be one of them.
Yeah.
And we need to keep them off balance. And you say, well, how much off balance are they going to be about this? Well,
it keeps them spending money against all these cities trying to get court cases. Right. When they're trying to put things up for vote, they're spending money trying to influence the vote. So you're diverting funds and their attention to all these different areas.
Well, guys, I think I'm helping the abortion industry. I'm showing them what cities are willing to have abortion access in their communities and which cities are not willing to have abortion access in their communities. I'm doing this at my own expense. Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood's not paying me to go city to city and test the waters and see if they're welcome there. And so all they have to do is look at sanctuarycitiesfortheunborn.com. They can look under denying cities. And those are the cities that have rejected these ordinances. And so if they set up shop in those cities, then maybe the city council there will still be open to having them in their city limits.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they didn't want this ordinance. They voted down.
That's sure nice of you to go out of your way to help the abortion industry like this.
I try to be as fair as possible.
Oh, yeah, I know you do. Yeah, you're such a nice guy. You know, talking about the money angle of it, you have this law firm that defended these small cities in East Texas that got sued. And they did it for nothing. So those city councils and those cities were not out any money to defend themselves against the threatened Planned Parenthood lawsuits. But I guarantee you Planned Parenthood was out a lot of money mm-hmm. because the lawyers that they hired that are on their staff or the outside law firms or whatever, just because it didn't work doesn't mean they didn't send them a bill. And they got billable hours out the wazoo mm-hmm. charged to them. So they spent a lot of money to beat down a bill that our side spent no money to support. So, you know, how do you lose a deal like that? I mean, that's got to be a win-win for mm-hmm. our side, any way you look at it.
Another good thing about this is it's inspiring other states to do this. And so the city of Ohio is first in their state to do this. And so I think we can fully expect other states having sanctuary cities in their states.
Yeah, they'll start popping up all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got inquiries from other states. I think you had one from a large city in Florida, did you not?
So we have a city that's working on things in Florida. Of course, sometimes it's one council member holding things up. And yeah. So shame on them. But we do believe that we're going to see more cities go forward in Ohio and Nebraska and Arkansas and Tennessee and Missouri and, you know, all these states that they just don't want abortion there. We've had people contact us from New York. We've had people contact us from Alaska. So I don't know where I'm going next. I'm just trusting in the Lord, and wherever the door is open and there's a desire there and things start moving, then hey, that's where we're at.
Yep.
You say shame on them, on those city council members who are pro-abortion, who are standing up in your way. But I think it's revealing to people where their loyalties lie. And you have a lot of people say, well, I'm not really sure how pro-life views or pro-choice views affect my community on the city level. Well, here's case in point on why you need to be even voting for pro-life city council members and needing to know what their opinion on abortion is. So this is showing to pro-lifers in their area, okay, this is a person who you need to vote out.
They need to be gone.
You know, if some clown tried to ban chicken fried steak in a city in Texas, then overnight, like, people would get him out of office.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's how they feel about chicken fried steak, what about unborn children? Like, we should not allow city council members who claim to represent us to get away with some of the things that they get away with.
Yeah.
If they do not represent our beliefs and values, then they don't need to be in that seat.
They need to be gone.
We need to get someone in that seat that represents our beliefs and values. And if we can't find someone that represents our beliefs and values to sit in that seat and make decisions for the good of our community, then by golly, maybe we need to run for office and sit in that seat.
Yep, that's right.
Well, and you know what? Speaking of Denton, Texas, you know, they're... Not that we were speaking of it in Texas, but I thought I'd bring it up. You know, we've got some interest in that area.
Oh, really?
And I was contacted by a representative in that area. And I'm not saying specifically that area, but it was in that North Texas area. And they want to see sanctuary cities for the unborn in their area. And so this is something that it's going to continue to spread. And I think we need to do everything we can to push back against, like here in San Angelo, we got two threats to deal with. We got the threat of Planned Parenthood, which has name dropped San Angelo, saying that they want to restore abortion access here in San Angelo. So that's one threat. But then we've also got the radical pro-abortion Biden administration that has said that they want to see abortion access in every zip code. And so both of those things, it's a double threat. And we've got to make sure that abortion access does not become a reality in places like San Angelo and the surrounding communities. And just for the record, I don't want anyone to think that I believe otherwise, but I believe that the election was not honest and that Biden, I don't believe that he won the election. I just want to be very clear about that.
Well, so, I think you have to be dumb as a box of rocks to honestly believe that Biden won. It doesn't pass the laugh test when you look at all the...
Doesn't pass the smell test.
All the things that went on.
And Biden knows about smell tests.
Yeah, he goes around sniffing everything.
Sniffing little girl's hair. And, I mean, he's a pedophile, obviously. But, yeah, we live in bizarre times. If you'd have told me 10 years ago that it would be possible for someone to literally steal an election for president of the United States. It's one thing to steal a little city council race somewhere or a county commissioner's race or something. You can see how that, but to steal the presidential race, president of the United States, I would have said you're nuts.
With the whole country watching.
Yeah, but here we are.
Yeah.
So who knows what kind of Don Quixote type thing. Like, that's what we'll start calling you, Dixon.
Don Quixote.
Yeah, right. Mark Quixote here. But who knows? You know, every time I hear somebody say, you can't do this or you can't do that, it's unconstitutional, the Supreme Court won't. First off, you start passing some sort of bill that's going to wind up in the Supreme Court. It might be years before it gets there. So when somebody says, well, the Supreme Court will never go for that, I'll say, okay, it'll be 5 years before it gets there. Tell me who's going to be on the Supreme Court in 5 years so we can know.
Yeah.
Since you seem to have all this inside information, tell me who's going to be on the Supreme Court.
While you're at it, give me the lotto numbers.
And by the way, if you could go back to Roe versus Wade, the pro-aborts gave us the formula here, if you think about it for a minute.
Yeah. Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey.
Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey, two nothing of attorneys, and one of them had never been in a courtroom in her life. They come up with this loony idea about how to make abortion legal in all 50 states by challenging, in one of the most conservative states in the union, the abortion statute there, and go up against Henry Wade, who was by far the most powerful district attorney in the state of Texas. So we're going to challenge him in one of the most conservative states, and we're going to get abortion made legal in all 50 states. And here's our goofy idea that we're going to use to do this. I will guarantee you this, that when Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington came up with this scheme, they were told more than once by attorneys on the other side, don't try this because you'll make us look bad. There's no chance that this will succeed. This is not the right venue. You're not the right attorneys. You don't have the experience. One of you's never even been in a courtroom. The other one's only been in a courtroom a couple of times. There are two lawyers in their 20s. Mm-hmm. This is not the right way to go about this. Please drop it. You're going to set us back 100 years if you try this and it doesn't work, and it won't work. I guarantee you they were told that. But they didn't have enough sense to listen to the experts, right? Mm-hmm. So they just went out and did it.
Yep.
That's a good model for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, Mark, you've even been told by some attorneys on the pro-life side, you know, you're wasting your time and this can't happen. This can't work. You're just going to set the whole pro-life movement backwards. Don't worry about it. Most of the people that will tell you stuff like that aren't doing anything to stop it themselves. Anyway.
Are you talking about... Never mind. Yeah.
Have I been in one of your conversations with one of these lawyers?
I was thinking you were talking about... never mind. I won't say his name.
Okay.
But, you know, we have been opposed by not just lawyers, but quote-unquote pro-life organizations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things where I just wish we could all just do everything that we can do to bring an end to the murder of innocent children in our communities. And, you know, I'm not going to criticize what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. If there's some success there and it's working and it is changing culture, I think we need to do everything that we can. Mm-hmm. And one day we're going to get to say that because of our effort that we live in a different Texas, a Texas that is not stained with the blood of innocent children.
Right. You're exactly right. We have to keep plugging away. And whatever strategy it is out there that God wants to make work, he'll make it work.
Yeah. And we're stronger together. And that's what we need to remember. If we allow all these things and we allow the abortion industry to intimidate us and divide us, we're not going to be as strong as we possibly could be. And we need to work together.
Yeah. You know, you can always find detractors. I can guarantee you that some of the things that I've done over my years in the pro-life movement, there were people that told me, you know, that can't possibly happen. You know, you're wasting your time. And they don't know that that's true. They don't have any idea that that's true. I get so sick and tired of having pro-lifers that'll hear about some idea, and the second they hear about it, they look for 100 reasons why it can't work. My argument is, look for 100 reasons how you can make it work. Mm-hmm. Figure out a way to make it work. They're a couple of morally bankrupt, degenerate lawyers, Weddington and Coffey, but you have to hand it to them. Mm-hmm. They had a goofy idea.
And they ran with it.
That they made work.
They ran with it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right. And they won. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know, most people don't realize this, don't think about it. There was no precedent case for Roe versus Wade. They just went directly to the Supreme Court with it.
Yeah.
There was no case that was overturned or under review or whatever by a state. There was no such thing. Mm-hmm. They just challenged the law and went to the Supreme Court. And I guarantee you they were told time and time again by the gurus and
experts.
And you know what a definition of an expert is, don't you?
I feel like you're about to tell me something smart, Alec.
It's anybody that's 50 miles from home and is carrying a briefcase.
There it is.
If they're 50 miles from home and they've got a briefcase, they're an expert. Mm-hmm. But they made it work. You got to hand it to them. They were too stupid to know it wouldn't work, so they went out and did it. And maybe that's the deal with this Dixon character. Maybe he's too stupid to know this won't work, so he's out making it work.
On the Roe v. Wade subject, wasn't that a great movie, the Roe v. Wade movie that recently came out?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Is it really?
I highly recommend it.
I haven't seen it. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us, Mark. I know we took a couple extra minutes here, but that's okay. You didn't have anything else to do anyway.
So. I was going to get some chicken fried steak.
Are you?
Which, that's my plan.
See, he's hungry. This is why the chicken fried steak references kept coming up.
What happened about chicken fried steak all day.
What happened to the Tex-Mex part? I mean, that's the other thing you couldn't outlaw in Texas.
Well, when I go to Tex-Mex restaurants, I usually eat cheeseburgers because they have really good cheeseburgers.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where does this guy get this stuff?
I don't know.
He is Don Quixote. He really is. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us, Mark. We really appreciate it. And God bless you for what you're doing and keep up the good fight. Mm-hmm. You've already got 29 states more than what cities. The experts would have told you were possible in the beginning.
Yep.
So just think about that. Anyway, when you're in Denton again, come on by. We enjoyed having you here last time you were here, and we always enjoy getting together with you. So keep us posted on anything new that's going on out there that we need to let people know about.
We'll find some good chicken fried steak.
There's a place on the square here in Denton that has really, really good chicken fried steaks.
And it's humongous.
And it takes about four people to eat one of them. But so when you're here next time, we'll take you down to Cartwright's on the square in Denton.
And excellent.
Get you the best chicken fried steak in North Texas.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well,
I think that's it.
I think that's all we got to say about this subject.
If you like the episode, make sure you leave a review. And be sure to follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, CastBox. The list goes on. And while you're at it, I will put the link in the description for it. But go check out the Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn website. And go look at that. And maybe see if you can get that started in your area. It starts with one person.
One person. Yep. One person started the whole thing nationwide. And that was Dixon here. And
it could start with you.
In your little community.
In your community.
Whatever your community is, big or little. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We will see you next Thursday. Until then, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.